life is rearranged. They say I would never change, y'all. I never be. But for the sake of my kids, I had to be. My life is rearranged. Lost it, doing wrong. Now I'm finally doing right. Took a little time, but through it all, I see the light. I climbed out of the dark and got a fresh start. Yeah, Jesus, my heart. The devil can't tear this apart. I'm only trusting in God. That's my staff and my rod. When things get hard, even when everything is good, no matter what is understood, good or bad, I'ma still give respect to my dad. All I had in my mess, one step toward him and he'll handle the rest. I made it through, that's how I know that I'm blessed. I must confess, I put the test and testimony from women till my homies gone. Rebuild his able phone. That's why I'm cool with being lonely. Me and God, members only. Never, never change. They say I would never change, y'all. I never be. But for the sake of my kids, I had to be. My life is rearranged. It's rearranged. Never change.
Of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magadan. Stay tuned and focused in that word of life ministered to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
When you have Romans chapter 8, amen. All right, we're going to read verse 18 and verse 28. When you have verse 18, say with me, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Verse 18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Those two verses is where we're going to give our theological argument and debate today. And hopefully we can take some practical understanding and practice it in our daily lives. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to use for thought and topic, title, or tag to this message, you've got to know. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you have got to know. What do I mean? You got to know for yourself. You have to know this for yourself. What I'm going to say, you must know it for yourself. And it's kind of like I used to hear him say it all the time, but now I understand it better, that you know what you know. You know what you know. You got to know what you know. Because if you don't know what you know, you'll be taken away by every wind and doctrine. You'll be moved by every trial and tribulation. You'll be pushed aside. You would give up. You'll throw in the towel if you didn't know what you know. Amen. Amen. So what I want you to do is stop searching on the outside for what it is that you need and realize that everything you need is right there on the inside. God is in you. Amen. And so you got to know this, and you got to be sound, and you got to stand and be concrete. Amen. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of what? Sound mind. So I have to know what I know. Amen. So when looking at this particular text, a couple things that came out, you know, but before I tell you all that, Paul, the writer here, I always call this the gospel according to Paul, because he didn't write one of the four gospels, but if he could, this would be his gospel. Because in this, it tells you how, where you are, who you are, where you was, and how Jesus saved you, amen, from where you were, and how we ought to have faith, amen. And Paul, in this particular chapter here, verse 28, actually is a summation of everything he wanted to say through from verse 1 through verse 27. Amen. But when we look at this, he says, he begins by opening up that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. So what he's trying to get us to understand is that even then, there were some people who were struggling with some stuff in their mind. They were struggling with what they knew. And so he was reinforcing them to let them know that you gotta understand who you are, and you gotta understand what's been done for you, because it's not just on you for this thing to happen in your life, but it's on God. And now his reputation, he's not gonna let you ruin his reputation by failing you. Somebody should have shouted right there. He's not going to let you ruin his reputation by failing you. He's going to make sure, amen, that all things will work for your good. Amen. Now, when we talk about this, now I want to bring to your attention and thought that there are two types of people, even in the church. Those two types of people are either optimistic folk or they're pessimistic folk. Amen. You got to make your choice on which one you are. Now, the sad thing is that we have people who are church folk. We have people who are deacons and ministers and choir members and whatever, pew setters, whatever, trend setters. And sometimes they're pessimistic. But we got to make our choice today to stop being so pessimistic. If something happens, the first thing they think about is the worst case scenario. The worst thing that could happen, the worst thing that happened to somebody else. And instead of them encouraging you, you get discouraged because they don't know how to talk. They want to get on your level and thinking that you're sad when you're saying, hey, I'm lifted up. And I'm ready to be able to tackle this problem, but they're so pessimistic that they don't realize how pessimistic they are. They think they're encouraging you by having a conversation, and sometimes it's best that they wouldn't even say nothing. They're just like Job's friends, that when they showed up, Job's friend, they showed up and they start talking about what he done wrong. Job was saying, look, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And they still was trying to tell him what he done. Job, you must have done something. Job, this is why you're suffering. They trying to figure it out when all they need to do is sit there and keep their mouth shut, because Job didn't want to hear from them to begin with. He said, I want to hear from God. Y'all still with me here? And so we got some people that, you know, they're going to tell you the latest gossip. They're going to talk about everything else. And all you want in your spirit is a yes. All you want in your spirit is, I know I can. We got some people that are the little engine that thought he could. You know, I think I can. I think I can. And then you got some people that's just Chicken Little. That's the pessimistic folk. Amen. And we got to get out of pessimism. We got to stop this, because God is depending on you to encourage somebody's faith. Now, in order for you to know what you know, you got to understand first that it takes faith to know. Amen. So if it takes faith to know, let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It tells us that God has given us all a what? Measure of faith. And if God has given us all a measure of faith, we need to understand that God is responsible for making sure that he puts stuff in our way to encourage our faith. And not only does he put stuff in our way, but he put people in our way. Y'all still with me here? He puts people there so that our faith will be encouraged, whether it's somebody who's down that we have to lift up, or somebody who's down who lifts us up in the midst of us trying to lift them up. Come on and say amen. Whatever it is, if he puts an obstacle in our way, it is to encourage and build our faith. How do we get our faith to increase and grow? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Bible said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's in Romans also. And so what we got got to understand is that I can't just get faith. My faith will not increase and my faith will not be encouraged unless I can hear the word of God. Anybody know that? And so what God does, he uses you people and me to encourage other people just by being in presence with one another. And secondly, he allows your faith to be built by the word of God. Come on and say amen here. Hallelujah. And so when we look at this, he says, Paul is letting us know that we must have faith. Now, what did he say in Hebrews 11 and 6? He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, you thought you was pleasing him because you said all them prayers and because you wore your dress long or because you carry a Bible and wear a suit, whatever the case. That's not pleasing to God. Come on and say amen. That is not pleasing to God just because of how you dress and the acts that you do. What pleases him is when you do it in faith. Oh, come on and say amen. The Bible says anything that is not faith is sin already. And sin is what disappoints God or what is against God and what does not please God. And so we have to make sure that everything we do it in faith. And that's why the pessimistic person can't stand in the presence of God. That's why you can't receive from a pessimist, because he does not have or she does not have faith when they speak, think, or talk, because they speak from whatever emotion, they speak from whatever experience, and that's why we should speak from our experience in God. And since we have an experience with God and in God, I'll come on and say amen in here. And because we have those experiences, that should make us realize that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly, and that God can ask or think according to the power that works in us. Are y'all sleep on me today? And so we got to understand that we got to have faith. We can't please God without faith. Come on and say amen. God has dealt us a measure of faith. Y'all still got your faith? Amen. We got to have faith and we got to be encouraging. We got to be able to build people, because the devil is out there to destroy them. The devil is out there to tear them down. And you got to understand something. You can't afford to mess up your moment. You don't ever know when your moment is. You can be having a moment, but God said, let's take that moment and turn it into a God moment. And then before you know it, you done messed up the moment, because now you done messed up your witness and people don't want to hear you. They don't want to see you coming because you're so negative and because you're so mean and you're so nasty. And you got to watch your moments. Y'all still with me in here? Y'all looking at me strange, though. And so we got to make sure that we don't mess up our moment by being pessimistic. We got to make sure that we're optimistic about what God is doing. And then, we got to be in between optimism and knowing what God is doing. Amen. And so he says, now he goes on in this same chapter, he talks to us about not being condemned. He says that we walk not after the flesh, but after the what? Spirit. You see, when you walk after the flesh, you're negative. When you walk after the flesh, you talk about gossip. You talk about stuff that you don't know for fact. Amen. See, you got to stop. You don't know it for a fact, shut your mouth. If you don't know what God is doing, keep your mouth shut. And you see, if God hasn't given you the inside scoop, it's best for you to just pray and hush. Y'all still with me here? So we got to learn how to pray, be quiet, hush, and just let God be God. Amen. And so many times we walk in the flesh so much and by what we see rather than what we know. That's why the scripture says that we ought to walk by faith and not by sight. See, I know God has healed me, so I'm not worried about your negativity. I know God has delivered. I know God has set me free, and I know God can set my people free, my cousins free, my uncles free. I know God can set them free. Your children, God can set them free. So no matter what it looks like, it's not your job to be pessimistic. It's your job to be optimistic about what God is about to do. You ought to stand with tiptoe expectancy saying, God, I know that you can do it any moment, any time. You don't have to wait. Come on and say amen. What do they always say? You don't have to wait till the battle is over. You can shout now, and I'm going to shout because I know that the Lord is a healer. I'm going to shout because I know that the Lord is a deliverer. I'm going to shout because I know that the Lord is my peace. I'm going to shout because I know he'll give me joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going to shout because I know the Lord is a way maker. He can open doors that's been closed in my face, closed doors that shouldn't have been open. I know God will make a way because when the door is shut, he'll open up windows and pour me out a blessing that I don't have room enough to receive. Do anybody in the house believe today that God can and God will, and be encouraged enough to know that I don't care what it looked like, God still has the last say. So I don't care what the people are shaking their head about, God has the last say. So I think y'all might be with me. Let's get about 6-7 more people, we can have some church. He tells us, he says that walk by the flesh, by the spirit. You think the spirit gonna lead you to complain? So are you being led when you're complaining? You think that the spirit of God is gonna lead you to be negative? No. So why are we being negative? Amen. Why are we being negative while we're going through? Or even when we see other people go through, why we're negative about that? Or even looks. And I'm gonna get to this part, but I'm gonna say it a little prematurely. Why do we, when somebody mess up, why do we think the worst? If all things, I don't want to go there yet. But why do we think the worst when it's not going the way we in our mind calculated ought to go? So that's what brings me to verse 18. I'm gonna go ahead and skip down so we can get out of here. Verse 18 says, for I reckon. Yeah, some of y'all young people don't know what reckon is. But every now and then I still use reckon because that's my grandpa word. Reckon. Reckon is a word that actually means a calculated fact. It's a calculated fact. Y'all still with me here? In other words, if I said I reckon I got $400 in the bank, what that means, I actually got $400 in the bank. Y'all still with me? In other words, it's something that I computed, and I realized that is exactly what it is. So Paul says, I reckon. In other words, I'm pretty sure that the suffering. Y'all don't hear me here. I'm pretty sure that the pathemia is the word suffering. He said, I'm pretty sure that the calamity, the evil, the affliction that I'm suffering, the hardship, the pain, listen to this, the pain that causes me some emotional grief, I'm pretty sure, I reckon that this suffering, this pain that makes me cry sometimes, this pain that makes me howl sometimes like I'm a wolf, this pain that makes me just make noises at night that will make me groan on the inside, he said, I'm pretty sure that this stuff is in this present time that I'm going through right now. Anybody going through anything right now? Anybody been through anything yesterday? Well, you know what? You're still being affected today. Oh, come on and say, you've been through something last week. Anybody got any pain right now? That I'm not talking about physical pain, actually. I'm talking about heartbreak. I'm talking about mental anguish. I'm talking about stuff that seem like it won't let you sleep at night. That's pain. I wish I had a few people that understood. Give me three, maybe two. God is talking to at least one person in here. Maybe it's me. But he said here that the pathemia, the suffering of this present time, the stuff that I'm dealing with right now, y'all don't hear me. He said, these things are not worthy. Oh, glory be to God. He said that what I'm going through right now can't even weigh up to where I'm going. What I'm going through right now, I wish I had somebody. See, what we got to understand is that a pessimistic person, they think that they're going to go through always, that this thing ain't going to never end. I'm just going to keep going through. I'm not going to see a bright moment. I'm going to always have a dark cloud. There's always going to be something. That's pessimistic. But an optimistic person say, I won't be like this always. Look at me now. You see this, what I'm going through? This ain't nothing but a stepping stone. I know where I'm headed. I don't care. Look, I'm hell hell or high water, the Lord will lift me up. Because he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. Anybody ever said that? Oh, come on and say amen here. Somebody who are optimistic will say that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Come on and say amen here. Somebody that's optimistic will say that the Lord give it, the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I wish I had a few people in the house that said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, I know that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Is there anybody? I'm almost ready, but I ain't ready yet. The word exeus in the Greek, it is the word that means it's not worthy to compare. It's not due to meet up with. So it shouldn't even be mentioned in the same sentence. What I'm going through right now, I ought not talk about that in the same sentence of me being blessed. I ought to talk right past what I'm going through and say, oh, that's all right, God got it. I ought to talk right past, think right past where you are, the pain that you're suffering. Oh, anybody encouraged here? You got to know what you know. And so if I know what I know, I know that the suffering, the things that I'm going through right now is not worthy to be compared. I can't do it. I've been through so much, and then, but the Lord, you know, pessimistic person, well, maybe the Lord will do this, and maybe the Lord, you know what, the Lord will. It ain't no maybes in God. I hope he might. No. God will either do it or he don't do it. I wish I had somebody. You know, God, he said, is yay or nay. Come on and say amen. It ain't no I might in God. God said he'll do. Oh, come on and say amen. He said that he'll do exceedingly and abundant above all we can ask or even think, according to the what? Power. That power is faith. That power is the word of God on the inside of us. Y'all still with me? And so he says that it's not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be what? Revealed. The word reveal is the word apocalypto, which means to uncover. And the only way some things can be uncovered is if some things are stripped. The only way the glory of God can be revealed in your life is if he strip off the labels that people put on you. Come on and say amen. If he strip off your pride, come on and say hallelujah. If he strip off some things that you're laying under, some things that you're hiding behind, God say, let me pull it off so the glory will be revealed in you. Sometimes we don't like when God get to pulling off. But let me tell you something about God. When God pull off, he puts on. Y'all hear me here? If God pulls something off, that means he wants to put something on. So if he stripped you of one thing, he's giving you something else. I wish I had somebody in the house that realized that God is just that good. God is not stripping you to expose you. He's stripping you to bless you. God is not removing things to have you exposed to the element of worry and frustration. But God is giving you something to cover you. He said that you don't need that covering. I got some blood. Let me cover you with the blood. I wish I had somebody in the house. And when he covers you with the blood, it doesn't matter how other people see you. It matters how he sees you. Because when he sees me through the blood. Other people saw what I used to do. They saw what I used to be. But when God sees me, he don't see that. He sees Jesus. Oh, I wish I had somebody. When God sees me, he don't see a sick person. He see a healed person. When God sees me, he don't see some sit down. He sees somebody delivered. I wish I had somebody. Y'all still with me in this house? It matters how God sees me. Talk if you must. But you just wait on your talk. Because you're going to have to make a but. Oh, but God. Oh, he used to be this. But he a man of God now. He used to act like that. But he laying hands on the sick. He used to do like the devil. But he's casting out devils. Do I have anybody? He used to be broke. But look at him in that whip now. Do I have anybody? Oh, yeah. Y'all don't know how bad I want to go there. Hallelujah. It's not worthy to be compared to the glory, the doxa in the Greek. The doxa, the glory, the covering of God. It actually means the glow of God. and the favor of God, when the glow of God is on you. You know, people know when you're glowing. You ever have somebody say, man, you just glowing? They don't know what it takes to glow. You see, some people don't know what it takes to glow, because sometimes you got to be rubbed, and sometimes you feel like it's the wrong way to shine you up. Sometimes you got to be screwed and tightened up by God in order for you to shine. But it's all right. The glory of God. They don't know what it takes for you to glow. Oh, come on and say amen. Don't know what it takes. Because sometimes people think it's easy to glow. They think there's just some artificial way to glow. No, it ain't but one way to glow. You got to go through. You got to be all down by the presence of God. And sometimes that means God squeezes you. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Whatever he used to squeeze you, he squeezed you till the all of God from the inside came to the outside. Because God knows what's in you. You just don't know what's in you. You won't know until you get squeezed. Tell somebody, I'm being squeezed right now. I'm being squeezed and it's all right. Because I know God will make it right. I know what I'm feeling is pain now. But when I come out of this pain, I can tell people how I got over. I can tell them how the Lord made a way. I can tell them I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I can tell them I don't feel no waste time. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me. Oh, Lord. I'm trying to hold my mule. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Give me a few minutes. I'm going to go. I don't think I can hold it a third and fourth time. Glory be to God. He said it shall be revealed in them. No. In us. We always look at other people that can make it. And we look at other people that are making it. But what about you? Yeah, you can make it. It's going to be revealed in you. You're not going to stay where you are. I know the devil meant it for bad. You know, we sing this. I had trials and tribulation, unexpected situations, living here below. I had friends that turned their back on me, left me standing in the cold. You know that song? We sing that. He meant it for my good. The devil meant it for bad. Oh, but I'm so glad. Anybody know that? We got to know that God means it for our good. There's so many times we give up before we even see what God has in store for us. You know what? If Abraham would have given up on the first 5 years, he never would have got Isaac. But Abraham kept trying. Huh? The Bible said, who in Jeremiah 17:7 said, who against hope, believe in hope. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who hope the Lord is. Romans 17:7 says, who against hope, believe in hope. And we got to understand that we, even though hope is against us, even though we're in a hopeless situation, we still got to keep trying. I still got, that's why Jesus said, if you have faith of a grain of mustard seed, if your faith is small, don't belittle your faith. Because that's enough faith to move a mountain. Do anybody believe that? You got to have faith that you can move that mountain. It doesn't matter. Don't ever give up. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care how hard it's been. I don't care how painful it's been. You got to say, I'm never going to give up. Oh, come on and say amen here. As long as you got breath, don't give up. Hallelujah. Now, let's go. I'm gonna get out of here. Verse 28 says, and we know. Now, this is after he tells us about some stuff. He tells us about how the Spirit of God, he says that the whole creation, guess what? Whole creation travailed and they groaned. The whole creation is making some noise about you because the whole creation wants you to manifest who you are. Uh-huh. See, we've been who everybody else is. You got people that try to be like everybody else. I wonder what you would be like if you would be you. I wonder how awesome you would be if you would be yourself. We don't need another one of those. We just need the one that God put. Now, you don't know who you're withholding the blessing from until you be who you are. You don't know what God has in store until you become who you're supposed to become. You see, you're trying to be somebody else, and God said, I already blessed that person, so I ain't going to bless them again with the same thing. So you being somebody else, missing out on what God has in store for you for being you. Oh, have mercy. People.